Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Nobody Panic. Have you graduated or have you not? I'm straight in.
Look, this is about graduating and you're welcome even if you have never graduated.
You're just welcome.
You're always welcome. Don't feel you have to leave.
There'll be some, as ever, just absolute classic gags.
Whipping
out some jokes. But yeah, we've sort of called it the graduate wasteland, which is quite scary, but also because I think it just is scary. Even if you are doing a graduate scheme and you're like, I've got my life sorted out, you're still like, oh no. I'm now out of education. And also, there'll be lots of people listening who are like, well, I didn't go to university. And that's fine. We just thought, lots of people asked us about it.
Yes.
So we thought we might as well. Like, we've done one on things that I haven't done. So, you know.
Okay, everyone.
Stop being so mean about it. Just because you haven't gone to university doesn't mean everyone hasn't.
I think there are some similar feelings, even if you have just left education or... You know, the feelings are there. Mm. I felt very passionately about this one, have done for a long time, because I think it's one that absolutely nobody tells you.
Yes. They try, but they don't really.
I don't think no one even tried.
Well, there were those graduate fairs.
Yeah. But they just gave you a pen. I mean, I took a pen and I have so many pens. I didn't listen to anything they were saying. They gave me some sweets, some Deloitte sweets.
That's what I mean. They're trying, but it's half-assed because it's only about like specific things, like schemes. And you're like, well, what if I don't want to work at Deloitte?
So there's no, after I took their pen and their sweet, I was like, there's absolutely no chance I'm ever going to work at this. I don't even know what you do, Deloitte. You financial.
I still don't.
No, I have no idea.
My friend works there.
They got in by the Swedes.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a wonderful place to work, but they, it's some kind of financial advisory, I think, or scheme or bank. Could be a bank.
Could be a bank. I don't think it's a bank.
But I was like, it's obviously not for me. I don't even know what you do.
Yes.
And so there was no...
Very savvy of you.
Thank you. There was absolutely no help if you weren't going to do the law conversion or do a graduate scheme or, you know, something very clear that was at the graduate fairs.
Or like teaching or something.
Teaching. Yeah. Like those are the very clear steps. And if you didn't feel like any of those were quite right, you burped.
I just burped out there. I'm hanging.
Yeah, but you're puffing them to the side. So... So like they were there to help you into your job, but what was not there for you at all was anybody prepping you for what it was going to be like
psychologically
to leave, because you've been through education for such a long time and you have terms and exams and then you go up a year because the passage of time has moved.
It couldn't be more of a meritocracy. It's like, I work hard, I get grade. I don't know why you're talking like a caveman, but we are. And then I move on.
Meritocracy is such a nice word.
It is, isn't it? Meritocracy.
And does it mean you rise through...
Merit.
Good. Please, carry on your point.
There's such a clear thing of like, I work hard, I get this, which means this.
Yes.
And then when you all of that disappears and is taken away, you're then cruelly left to realise the fact that that just isn't how life works. Sadly... Sometimes it does. Sometimes you work really hard and then you get what you want immediately.
Yes.
Sometimes you work really hard and you don't get what you want, then you don't, and then you don't, and then you don't, and then you do. Sometimes you never do. It's a very tricky life we all are having. And I think you just need to be prepared a little bit more.
Yeah.
Rather than just off you go.
Off you go now. You like throw your hat in the air and you have these big talks, you know, leaving high school, leaving university, these big talks that say like, go into the world, like become who you're meant
to be. Whatever you want to be.
And you're like, Should I just keep this hat? And they're like, you have to give it back because you rented the hat.
I hated that aspect.
I had
a fake scroll as well.
Yeah, there's bullshit in the pictures.
I never got my degree. They never sent me my degree.
I don't know if I've got my degree either. Mm. Should I make you one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Done. Anyone else wants one? Let me know. You've been through your whole life, your whole waking conscious life. You've been in a place where someone said, draw a picture. The best picture goes on the wall. Mm. Do this exam. If you can get the right marks, you can have a sticker. Every day someone gave you an activity and you tried to do it and you understood the rules. And you can definitely think the rules are bullshit. Like, I think the exam system in this country is fundamentally flawed and it's hopeless. And the further away you are from it, the more you're like, we shouldn't have done that to the children.
Yeah.
What a mistake. I think when then going into the world, there's no, you're like, but where are the quizzes? Where are the activities? Where is the term time?
Yeah, I did a really good day today. Nobody's given me a grade.
No one's given me a grade. Does anyone want to grade my day? I think I still have that really hard that I want someone to give me a grade.
Oh God, yeah. I'd love that.
I'd love a grade.
It'd give me real impetus, right? Just for everything.
And you could go up or down a grade. You could understand how to do it better. Because it feels like there's no sense of, how do we do this better? Where's the rules? Where's the past papers?
Once you get into like a career job or just any sort of job, that sort of starts to happen again. You'll start to recognise things. Like, so a promotion is just basically getting a sticker again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like a pay rise is getting a sticker, but you get to buy a house maybe after it.
Yeah.
And like workplaces often have incentives to just make their workers feel better and feel like they're doing a good job. And you have like regular check-ins every year.
But when nothing's as good as a sticker though, is it?
No, I just want stickers if I'm honest. I found that kind of quite useful when I was working in an office and I thought that was like quite a nice, because you were working towards something and it reminded me of being at school.
Yeah.
But in between my first job, I did an MA immediately after university. So basically I just stayed in university longer because I was frightened. And also because I wanted to train as something. And then I had 2 years of no job. So yeah, there was 2 years between my MA and my first like job. And it was fine when I got the job because then you feel like you're, finally I've arrived. I'm part of society.
Yeah, yeah.
The bit in between was hell. Like it was just absolute hell. I didn't know what I was doing. And it's so terrifying.
It's awful.
And you feel like everyone else is in this club that you're not in.
They're not in the club.
And also you constantly feel really old. Like immediately you're like, I'm probably past getting a job now at 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Soon.
Well, I'm over the hill, so I'm never gonna.
Hilarious now that I'm, you know,
the
much,
thought of
much older.
Now, who said, well, I'll never get a job.
They do sometimes. When I used to work at the debrief, there'd be like work experience people and they'd say like, oh, so I'm a little bit old. And you'd be like, well, how old are you? And they'd be like 23. And I'd be like, jump out the window. Like, what are you talking about? No, you're never. And it's like 78 and you're interning. I'd say, A, good on you. B, yes, it is quite unusual. Fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're here.
But anything under 78, 77, you're a spring chicken.
Absolutely fine. But 78, get out.
Get out.
Get out. So we're going to dive into that hellscape, that wasteland, that abyss. And we're using very dramatic language here, but I stand by it.
It was
quite bad in
there. It was quite bad. I did have a nice time.
And it's not something that people, I think, ever talk about enough. Certainly not while you're in it. It was genuinely hard. Like now we're all sort of okay to laugh about it. But at the time, it was hard to find the jokes because it was all a bit mad.
Sad. And then also everyone's kind of trying to sound really professional because you have to like fake it till you make it. So whenever anyone would be like, so what are you up to? I'd be like, oh, you know, bits and bobs, got some stuff on the go. Nothing on the go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got a few fingers and a couple of pies, actually.
And by that I mean,
an actual pie.
Can you help me?
I got heavily into jam. Making jam.
Making jam?
Yeah, I was at my living at home and my dad would go to work every day. He was furious with me.
Because of all the jam.
Because I wasn't leaving and he like couldn't comprehend how I was in this house still.
Understood.
And he was so cross with me. And also he was retiring that year and I think he was so angry that he was like, why have I still got a job? And I just like made a lot of jam.
You should have sold the jam.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly what he said. Mm. He was like, why haven't you got any business acumen? And I was like,
Everyone has business acumen.
No,
I think that's the thing.
I certainly didn't. I was too busy drawing strawberries on labels.
I would say that is a skill that maybe you still don't possess and that's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing. We don't all have to have business acumen. Like, I think you could have lots of amazing ideas and then you would team up with someone
that would be able
to make your jam into a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's, as you get older, you accept like, cool, like I'm probably not going to start a business single-handedly. That's not like my skill. But you found all your other skills. And when you're like, you know, tossed out into the graduate wasteland, nobody has told you your skills other than like, you've got this degree and you're like, great. So actually quite actively, how can I but apply that to anything.
Yeah, but in a real way.
I suppose I should be like Richard Branson. And then like not everyone is like Richard Branson.
No, not everyone can be Richard Branson.
I'm certainly not. God.
So let's circle back in.
Circle back in.
What's your adult thing of the week?
My adult thing is, two nights ago, I was like feeling quite sad. And then I thought, what do people do when they're sad? Well, I mean, people say that, like, I don't know, they bake and stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to bake. And then I realized I had everything for banana bread. So I baked. Oh. And I made a banana bread. And then I ate the whole banana bread. And it just really made me happy.
Was it delicious?
It was absolutely delicious. I put in way more sugar than they said and more bananas.
You must.
It was acceptable. Like, because if there was any less sugar, it would have been rubbish. My mum got me this wonderful present for a couple of Christmases ago, which was all of the old recipes she used to make me when I was little, like meals
and
stuff.
Oh my God, written down?
Not only written down, scanned. In a book that she called a Harry Potter spell book, and so that it was like potions.
God.
And so all of like the pastas and things. So when I'm feeling sad, and she got one for my sister as well, so whenever
we're
feeling sad, yeah, because they're from her notebook, all they're scanned in from like recipe books that she's torn out and whatever.
Oh.
It's really adorable. And so when we're sad, me and Gina will make the pasta salad that my parents used to make or whatever, just to like make us feel
nice.
Less. It's so great. But now I've for the first time got my own one that I sort of, because it's
you've got your own recipe, your first
a
recipe.
Banana bread, because I modified the Sainsbury's one. It's not the same one.
Stevie's banana bread.
Yeah, it's got chocolate
in it. You
could
be on those Tesco's food love stories.
Oh my God. Sarah's Say Sorry Spaghetti.
Say Sorry Spaghetti. And
in
her
eyes.
Say
Sorry, Sarah.
In her eyes. You're like, what did you do, Sarah? What have you done? It looks like she's shat
also,
on the couch.
There's no one else in that on that billboard. So it's like she's killed all her friends
yeah,
and she's just
she's
saying
all
sorry
alone.
By making
like,
herself
saying
spaghetti.
Sorry with spaghetti. I find them so stressful.
They are stressful. But yeah, so that was my adult thing.
Oh, well done.
Which I was very happy about. What's yours?
Mine is that I rented a car.
That's great.
That's pretty
You can drive. That We should make
I
that
I can
very clear.
Drive. Yeah, just got They let me have one.
It's outside.
I've never rented a car in my life. And when people say they rented a car, I'm always like,
Sure. How like a house?
Yeah.
To get like, a landlord?
How did you do that? You know, I've absolutely no concept of how that would happen. I went to a 30th birthday party in the south of France.
Oh, woo! Lord, that is good. That's very adult as well.
Very adult. Already very grown up. But that, I was just invited. So I can't really take any credit for that.
Sure.
It was in a very, very rustic but fantastic, her grandma's old French like farmhouse.
Ooh,
with an outdoor toilet. So
oh,
like
wow.
Real rustic and everyone like chipping in and then a beautiful outdoor dinner. Aww. So nice. In fact, I talked about it ages ago about me booking these multiple flights because
yes.
They were so cheap.
That was the other adult thing.
And I felt so great about it. And then took this flight, then was getting, didn't want anyone
so
to
took the car. So I drove.
I booked a load of flights and then I thought, you know what would even make this better? If I drove. No, I had the flight. It got in quite late.
Yes.
I didn't want anyone to have to come and get me. So I rented a car.
Was this like a spontaneous thing when you got into the airport and you
No. I had thought about it.
That's
I did
even
it
better.
A week before. Imagine if I'd done it in the airport. That would have been insane.
Just
I wouldn't have.
Other side of the road and all that?
Other side of the road. All right.
All
I felt
right.
So grown up. My one misstep, and you've got to have one. Ryanair sent me an email being like, do you want a car? And I was like, I do. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. And then it was like 50% off these cars in the gold car section. So I thought gold cars, well, they must be the best cars.
Oh, dear.
And they were like £9 a day. And I was like, very reasonable. Booked these like, I was like, I paid £20 for a car. Got there. And obviously gold car was like the shittiest section.
Right.
They were like the local car with like a hand-drawn paper sign that said gold car.
Right.
And then like Hertz and Aviva and all the like professional ones. And then you pay the £9 a day, but then they're like, you have to pay this enormous insurance premium and everything. So I did get a bit stung. But better that than dropping it off with like a tiny scratch and them saying you owe us £2,000.
I think excellent.
Yeah. Learning curve, you've got to learn.
Absolutely.
And you've got to learn on the job. Otherwise, you'll always think the gold car is the best car.
I would have said it was.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't
know.
It was
better than gold. Well done. You know what isn't about renting a car?
What?
Graduating.
It certainly is not.
It's not about that. So I did a tweet today. That's the end. No, I did a tweet about asking people, thank you, asking people about their advice in terms of surviving that graduate wasteland and a lot of people being like, oh my God, I really need this in my life. Before I go into like the good advice that you all rose to the challenge with, which you absolutely did, and thank you so much for everyone that tweeted, I will try and get through as many as possible. There was a PR company, there's like a traveling company that I won't name, who got in touch being like, traveling is a really great way to prepare you for jobs and really helpful to do when you graduate. Would you like us to send some research over? And that in a tweet was exactly why I found the graduate wasteland so difficult. The idea of like, well, the graduate wasteland's not difficult if you can just go traveling because you've got the money.
Right, like, yeah, and I think, yeah.
And I'm also not shaming anybody who's got money and can go traveling. That's wonderful. But that's not quite the same as being in London with no money and yes. having to be a waitress and like not knowing what you want to do with your life.
Yes.
You could do that in India, and that's obviously comes with its own challenges.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
The traveling thing, and absolutely, you hit exactly the nail on the head that everyone's like, well, why not just go?
Yeah.
Like, well, just go, just take a year. Just go.
Just take a year out, babe.
Just
and you're like, oh my God.
Out. Like, just regroup in the like Italian Dordogne. Just go. And I think, like, while that is an excellent idea.
And if you have the money, do it.
And have the money, do it. But also, even if you do have the money, I did do a gap year and I worked for 6 months of it. I worked in Canada for 6 months and then I went traveling for the other half. And so I paid my, but I did pay for myself all the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I worked all the way around.
Gap year is very
it.
Different to traveling after graduation.
And then people said, like, why don't you go and work abroad and whatever? Go, if you haven't got anything else to do, why don't you go abroad? And I felt like, even though I was like, yeah, why don't I go and just work somewhere else? It felt like I was still running away from the problem.
Yes.
That was to me. So I think the traveling thing is this huge...
Oh, see, I didn't even think about the work aspect of it. I think, like, if you are genuinely completely adrift, or you've got, like, decisions to make, university was incredibly tough, I just need some time out, and you can go and work somewhere, then, like, I guess, yes, that is actually a really good option. I meant more of just, like, oh, I'll just spend loads of money and go walking around South Asia.
Yes, and I think even if someone had given me the money, this, I'm just saying, like...
I agree with you.
If someone had given me the money to go to South Asia and walk around it, I wouldn't have gone, because I would have been like, I knew I'd just be putting stuff off. I would just be walking, being like, why am I walking? How can I possibly have a good time?
Yes.
Because I think when you go before university, you're like, I'm doing this thing and I'm going to go to university, so I'm trying to get in as much as I can, and you feel so excited. And then going afterwards, you just feel like, what am I doing? What's this? What am I doing?
Yes, I agree. I think you kind of...
It feels like a waste of
money. I'm only putting it off, and when I go back, I'm only just going to have to be doing this longer, and I've lost a year. But then it is tricky if you don't know what you want to do at all.
Yeah.
That is really hard, but you should still, maybe a good tip is to still immerse yourself in something that keeps you connected to the world.
Yeah.
Because even if that is going home, you're still surrounded by people that care for you, love you, and you can chat to about like career options. You can you can apply for jobs at any point if you want them. Whereas if you're in Thailand, sure, you could probably get a career in Thailand and maybe it becomes like your thing. You're probably not going there for the job opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's good to kind of keep yourself plugged into stuff, so at least you feel like you're doing something, even if that thing is just sitting on the sofa crying and eating crisps every day, which is kind of what I did.
Yeah.
You made a lot of jam, I ate a lot of crisps. We got some good tips. This is from at Claire E. Lowe, and she says,
Hi Claire.
She just says, just do something, anything, so you don't go insane. I worked in a charity shop. Downside was that I kept spending money. And obviously, if you work in a charity shop, you are often volunteering, so you don't get make any money. But she got some ace bargains from the students who had moved out. And also, I suppose you feel like you are part of the world. You are functioning and you're keeping yourself active so that you're open to thoughts and ideas about what you actually want to do. Jenny Mullinder said, make sure you give yourself some dedicated time and space to look for jobs in your field and your dream career, even if you need to take that job in retail or admin or whatever. If you're still working towards your goals, you'll feel less disheartened about it all, which I think is a great thing. So I made a really bad mistake when I was doing mine, which is where And it's not a mistake to do this sort of job, but for me it was. I did waitressing, which meant that I was doing, I don't know, like maybe five shifts a week or whatever. And those shifts would be, in the week, they'd be quite late. They'd go on really, really late. So and then I'd be fully exhausted the next day, so I couldn't really do anything. And then you'd work like all weekend. So I felt like fully isolated from social occasions. And also I didn't have the energy, because it's such a physical job, I didn't have the capacity to do an internship at the same time, because I tried and I would just fall asleep. So it was only when I quit doing waitressing and I started doing another job that was, I worked at a cinema, which was a lot more chilled out, quite boring, but it meant that I had space to, around that job, do stuff that was helpful for my career, rather than my temp job become my entire life. I basically just like lost my way a bit, because I was like, well, nothing's happening in the journalism thing and I've just been made supervisor at this restaurant. So, but I hated it. So like, I think...
Were you the supervisor?
At one point.
I have never excelled to supervisor. Once, those wedding people I used to work for years and years, and then we like got there once and... they said, oh, we haven't got a manager today. And then they were like, and I was like, so clearly the most senior, but I've been there for so long. And they were like,
only toddlers.
And they were just like, is it Pose Poppy? Is that your name? Poppy? And they're like, gone on her like second day, like, you're in charge now. And I was like, they're like, you're a loose cannon. You can't be left in charge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's fine, because again, if that was your career and something that you really wanted to do, that would really stink.
Yeah, well, it stung quite
hard. It stung at the time, but it stung at the time, and then looking back.
It's now, as I'm telling
you. No, it shouldn't, because you didn't have a passion for it.
I was bad, and also I was bad.
And you were bad.
And I kept giving away free stuff on the bar.
You've immediately come to the issue. Oh, yeah, and if it was your career, you would have maybe not done that, because you would have been so eager to get stuff right and interested in it.
I just, yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Arthur Thomas also had some good tips, which I thought was good. One of them was be flexible. If your dream job isn't available, think about the skills and experience that would be required for your dream job and find any job that helps you build that experience. That's a really nice way of looking at it. Like, the one of the massive steps between university and having a job I found was that whenever I did work experience, I was so terrified of offices. Like, I found offices really, it was like when I was little and I'd go into pubs and I'd be like, this is the grown-up place.
Yeah.
And you think that everyone is like, everyone knows each other and everyone knows a secret thing that you don't. Everyone knows that you're not supposed to be there. And difference between those two, I think, can be bridged by doing temp jobs, receptionist jobs, jobs that deal with the public, jobs that you won't realise, but they're actually equipping you to, if that's a word, to deal with problems and in a professional way. And like those little things that will give you more confidence. So when you're actually in an office, you won't be like, realise, but I think like being a waitress did help me interview members of the public when I went on to be a journalist, because I had spoken to them and I'd also had them shout at me, and I'd also like known what to do if someone had, you know, thrown the drink everywhere or whatever. You become more chilled out. Like taking bookings on a phone makes you able to talk to people on the phone.
Yeah.
Which is a terrifying
skills
thing.
Everywhere. Oh, Stevie, once I got sent home for back chat.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there's a lot of memory surfing sitting here about how bad I was as a
waitress. If it makes you feel better, I was a supervisor in one restaurant, but the restaurant before that, I got fired because I screamed at the manager and called him a misogynist. And I left like mid-shift. He said I had an attitude problem. So like, I think
they said I had an attitude problem. I kept tucking my tea cloth into my apron because I thought it looked trendy.
Yeah, sure.
And they said, stop doing that. And then I said, that's absurd, and then I put it back in again, then they sent me home for back chat.
It's like being at school.
Yeah,
very much.
My sister used to do it as well, and she said she always pretended that we weren't related so that people wouldn't, she wouldn't be tarred with the same brush, because she was always so good at her job. She was the supervisor.
Your little sister was the supervisor.
Yeah,
great.
Well, she was good and really sensible. She didn't ever give away the free drinks. She was.
But I'm sure Amy has things that she that you do that she wishes she, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, there's all skills everywhere.
The skills
not
everywhere.
The same skills.
I think a very good point. And what's this nice gentleman's name?
Arthur Thomas.
Oh, Arthur, lovely name, Arthur. I was just thinking that because I really did apply for some absolutely insane things.
Head of BAFTA.
Head of BAFTA was one of them, and I really. It was to organise the BAFTAs. And I was like, I
oh, you're not joking.
No, I'm not joking.
You applied to be head of BAFTA.
100%. That's right. Not a joke.
Oh, I've thought the whole time that you were joking.
No,
100%
true. This is absolutely brilliant.
I haven't got any imagination, so it's all just real things.
Okay.
So I applied to be head of BAFTA to organise the BAFTAs.
A bit of context. What were you doing at the time? Like,
just graduated, living at home, making the jam.
Right.
I was every
you
day.
Did anthropology.
With my anthropology, my new, total rubbish degree. You couldn't do anything with it. I couldn't go and do any research. Or there was nothing you could do with that.
Problem
as a
being
job.
Academic.
But problem being academic. I was like, I'm not going straight back round to being an academic. And I was on sort of all those websites like Milk Round and like
yes,
Mandy.com and Ideas Tap and all those sort of...
Oh, I think all of those have gone under
possibly,
now, which is really sad.
But like all those places that you would go and look for jobs and they would have different things would pop up every day and then you'd apply and like thousands of people would apply. And one of them was literally to run the BAFTAs. And I was like, I bet I could do that. Like with a thing in my ear, calling it, doing the seating plan. I was like, yeah, I really did apply for that. And then... my dad, you know, would try and coax me down to be like, maybe stop applying for these like extremely senior head positions. No one's going to give it to you. And I think you get in your head that you're like, I don't want to, you know, work in the bakery or do reception or do any of these things. I have dreams. And you're like, sure. And no one's taking those dreams away. You just have to do a bit of time at the bottom of the ladder now and like, start here. And yes, I'm sorry. And it's rough. And like, you just have to make the tea for a bit and don't get yourself downhearted that this is forever, which I definitely did. That I was like, I'm just making the tea forever.
I have a lot of friends
rubbish
that
at all my jobs.
Have in creative industries have but I think it works for non-creative industries as well, have felt exactly the same as you in terms of like, well, I'm not doing that, like, well, I'm beyond that, because maybe they've done like extracurricular stuff at uni that they've like maybe been the editor of a paper or
the director of Telegraph,
and you're like no, even just like the features writer, and you're like no, still you have to go right the bottom, you have to intern. Being at the bottom rung of the ladder, it's horrible. You feel very worthless and kind of small, but it really does help later on, I think.
So much.
It makes you a much better person.
There are so many things that were not nice to go through at the time, like having to work through university or pay for yourself through things that you were like, well, everybody else doesn't have to do it. But it gives you such a, it's, you know, bullshit about being character building. And you're like, oh, God, they were right.
Like, they were right. That's, I mean, like, because people say like getting bullied is character building. And you're like, no, it's not. But that is, like, I think that you learn about money, you learn to not take things for granted a little bit more.
Yeah.
And sure, maybe in like 20 years time, if I'm like loaded and I'm like arriving on a spaceship, then maybe, you know, I'll forget those humble messages.
I don't think you ever will, because you won't ever, for example, sometimes you demand good service in restaurants, but you are never dismissive or mean or horrible to people because that never goes away. You never forget being on
the
bottom.
That's true.
So you sort of got to be the bottom wrong.
More tips. Oh, this is really nice, because I think one thing as well that people don't talk about enough is how gross job hunting is when you're in that situation.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you kind of go like, because you don't know what sort of jobs to apply for, so you end up applying for head of BAFTA. Maybe you don't listening, but Tessa does. And then, but certainly jobs that are out of your remit. And then you have to, the kind of the act of scaling down is so depressing.
So, yeah.
And then it becomes when you don't, I remember I didn't get a job once. I can't remember what the details were, but I remember being so depressed about it, because I was like, a monkey could do that job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even get that. And it's not that, it's because so many people have applied for it. It's not them saying, you're so stupid, you can't even get a job in a bar.
No,
it's not that.
Thousands of people applied and it happened to go, that's the thing that I think we should also discuss, is it probably went to somebody's nephew. Like the amount of times that jobs just get put up publicly because they like have to legally advertise them, but actually it's already been given to somebody, and so you put your sort of whole heart into trying to get something and it's not, you don't get it, and it, you know, it was already, the job was already yours, so
which
don't take
is
that on
why
board.
You shouldn't isolate yourself.
Yeah.
You should try, because what I found from talking to people who've gone through this as well is that, like, so when I did my journalism MA, the actual MA itself, I don't think got me a job. I mean, it didn't absolutely at all. What got me the job was the people I was in the year with.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed in touch with, just because I was like, I'm so lonely. And we all hung out a lot. And then, so then when they got jobs and then a position came up in their company, they'd be like, oh, Stevie'd be good. And that's how I got my first job and my second job, because someone was like, I'm leaving. Would you like to do it? Or I can't do this. Would you? And that's also how, as a freelancer, that's how I get jobs, is that someone else can't do a feature or someone like recommends me for something. And I've got my sister job and everyone just passes it along. So the nepotism starts to work for you. And I think I was so incandescent with rage at this whole nepotistic world, because I was like, I don't know anybody, and so this is awful. But actually, you will know people.
Yeah. So that's the thing, isn't it? You fight it so much at the beginning because you're like, well, I haven't got an uncle who's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Uncle so-and-so. And you're so angry that you haven't got the uncle, but someone else has. You will be given things and offered things and, you know, it will start to work for you because you're a nice person.
Yeah.
People will say, oh, this person is great. And once you're in the game, like, those things will start to happen. And that is what nepotism is quite an ugly word, but, like, that is what the whole game is. And we're
it's like networking, isn't
it? It's networking. We're so desperate, of this vision where we didn't have to do any of the ugly stuff. We didn't have to promote ourselves and we didn't have to, like, try and sell yourself. You just got picked and passed along and you didn't have to do anything ugly, but actually it's all quite ugly.
It is all quite ugly, but it also means that, like, stuff will come from the stuff that you don't expect, so you just have to keep going. I think it doesn't matter what you're doing, just keep going forward. It doesn't matter if the next step looks really bleak and you're like, I don't want to do that. Don't question, don't try not to side eye as much as you can, even though it's impossible, and then stuff will happen.
Yeah,
it took me a long time. I remember with journalism, it took me a long time before anything came from anything I was doing. But I do remember there was, like, a whole year where I was just writing for these free blogs and sort of writing my own blog that didn't do very well, and nobody ever paid me for anything. I never got anything from anything else, but I sort of just kept going because I was like, well, if I stop, then I've literally failed, and my parents have put me through this MA, which I'm still paying them back for, and I failed everybody. So I had to kind of keep going. And then I just remember, like, a year in, which is a long time when nothing's happening, just when I was sort of like, I'm going to have to do something else. One of my friends was working for this career company and they were like, oh, they need, like, a blogger to write, like, these money-saving blogs for, like, £10 a blog post. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting paid. So I did it for, like, £10 a blog post. Did, like, one every 2 weeks. And then from that, someone else moved across to something else and were like, oh, Stevie does these blog things for us. So she could. And suddenly I started to write for places that were a little bit more. But it was so incremental and so small that at the time I felt like I was making no progress at all. But when I look back, it was lots of progress over a long period of time.
Yes, when you look back, it's this very, very clear, like, stepping stones.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, it makes so much sense. But when you're... That's the thing, the light only shines backwards. Like, at the time, it's just, like, absolutely pitch black in there.
You just have to say yes to everything.
You just have to say yes to everything. And no matter how shit this job sounds, or they're like, come and do this for a month, and you're like, that sounds dreadful. 100%, it's not for that. It's for something 3 steps down the line where someone who worked with you at that is like, oh, they were fun. Like,
yeah, and that still happens now.
Yeah, and that will happen for the rest of your life. And you just have to realize that thing, you do it. Not for it for itself, but for a secondary thing that you don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of sort of faith involved. Basically, it's just you have to leave the house. No one is ever going to come around to your house and
give you a job.
And no matter how much I thought that was going to happen while I was making jam.
Hey, I couldn't help but notice that I could smell jam.
Yeah. No one's going to run your jam empire for you while you just sit there drawing strawberries.
I wish they would.
I wish that too, but it's not going to happen.
One day you will have a jam empire. Alex B says that contacts were key for me, at the very least to give you an idea of how to build up your CV. Actually, that is a thing that you can do. If there's somebody doing a job that you think is quite cool, I've done that before. Email, just go for coffee, or just email them for some tips, or ask them if there's any kind of work experience going in their company. Mm-hmm. Nobody hates getting those emails. Like, I used to get those emails as well, and, like, I'd be fine with being like, cool, I'll just, you know, when I was working in an office, I'd ask around and try and help people out and stuff. Okay. Oh, yeah, someone, Sean Brett here says, ignore social media and do nice things for yourself and remind yourself that everyone goes through it, because I think that's, she's currently technically in the barren wasteland, and she said it's getting boring, and I think that's the thing. We're talking about it in these kind of big, like, hyperbolic terms. Also, it's just crashingly dull.
Yeah.
Every day being like, right, what are we going to do today? Mm.
I was just thinking then about, sorry, so much coming up for me here.
Yeah.
Guys. I was just thinking then about how boring it is and how, like, you just got to do something else and how what a massive sort of chip you have on your shoulder when you're in it, because you're so cross with people. I did this telesales job for the post office and, again, asked to leave.
I was actually the supervisor at the post office.
Yeah, my supervisor, and I was too chatty and I kept ignoring. I didn't do all the full questions when they're like, would you say it was A, very satisfactory, B, unsatisfactory? And I didn't read them out. I just said, what's your experience like? And then I just made it up.
Right.
Reprimanded in the kitchen. And I remember then a friend, or also an acquaintance, saying, like, meeting at a party and being like, oh, apparently you're like working for the post office, and which technically was true, and I couldn't laugh about it. That friend is a dick, but also I was like, I was so deep in that I wasn't able to make any jokes or be able to laugh at the situation or be like,
I
would be like, haha, I'm doing this job at the post office, wouldn't mind making some money, nice to be out of the house, because I was doing that phone thing job for that fantastic tutoring company the other day.
I
was like, having a lovely time, thrilled to be here. You know, when you feel all right in yourself, any job is absolutely fine. But when you're like, no, it's not the post office, shut up.
I think the kind of social media thing is an issue because people tend to brag about their first jobs because they've been in the wasteland and been so sad.
Yeah.
They finally get out and they've been hurt by other people bragging about their jobs. They're like, it's my turn now.
Me.
So blessed to have got a position.
Oh my God.
At Tatler. Yeah. And you're like,
work so hard for this. Dreams do come true, guys. Stay in there. And that's thing, like people leaving the wasteland, being like picked up
come
by
come back into the swamp. Like,
get back in the swamp. At least we're all in it together.
Yeah. When people start leaving the swamp,
it's so stressful when people that were in the swamp with you, that you were like, you know, in the trenches, you know, having a pal in there, when they do leave the swamp, it's like, okay. And so just try and be nice on your way out of the swamp if you are going out. Once this girl put on Facebook, went for this job at, I think, like the National Opera House or something. Went for this job at the National Opera House. Didn't get it, of course, in which case you're like, oh, right on, girl. And then she put, instead, they made a totally new position just for me and gave me that. And I just remember being like, bleh.
Oh my God. There's no need for that. We didn't need a plot. We didn't need a beginning, a middle, and an end.
We didn't need a twist.
Like, what?
And I know it's so much for you. You're like, I want to tell everyone the plot. Everyone must know the journey.
Tell your parents. Tell your friends. All your actual friends already knew that as an announcement. The only people who didn't know are the people who are going to be hurt by it, because they're like, yeah, well, I haven't got a job and I'm on Facebook at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
it's sad. I basically exclusively went on Facebook sort of between the hours of 2 and 5 just to look at what everyone else was doing. Because in the day I was really like, no, don't look at it. Don't look at it. And then obviously breaking and being like, I'm looking at everyone who was on my MA and all of their jobs. And they all had jobs. Of course they didn't.
Yeah.
You're just looking at the ones that do. Because the people who don't are not coming out of the woodwork. We are in the swamp. We can't do Facebook statuses about how we're in the swamp.
Is.
Because no one wants to know about that. No one on Instagram is putting about how, like, they didn't get out of bed today because they got rejected from a job that was like entry level and they're 25. Also, it's worth saying that the goalposts have changed. So what you're comparing yourself to is a generation above you who had it better. Actually, I don't think had it better, just had it a different way. So
had
they
a different
would,
way, for sure.
They would start earlier, go in their jobs for longer.
There were just more graduate jobs out there. They were just more available. And then, you know, we
and
just
more and more people now
want
to do creative stuff. And the creative path is always going to be harder than the non-creative path too. And you can do anything you like. So why would you go, I'm only going to do this one thing? Like, you will probably be kind of going, well, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. Have I picked the right one? Like, there's a lot of stress there.
That's the thing I think that we don't talk about as millennials, but like, is underneath a lot of our millennial issues is this, you can be anything.
Yeah.
Like, that we got told so often, and then when you realize, when you're like, well, did I fuck it up? Because I can't seem to do anything.
And I had I've tried loads of things and none of them have worked, so obviously I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Which
is, but you absolutely can. It's just harder. And though sometimes it will feel like, wouldn't that be easier if they just said, you'll work here till you're 10 and then you'll go work down the mine. And you'd be like, well, at least somebody made the choice.
At least, I know. Yeah, at one point you do just want like a voice to fill the room and go, do this. And then you're like, oh my God, yes, that is my path. One thing as well, I won't scream this, but I will like reiterate it. And I want you to like chant it to yourself. You're not too old. You're not too old to do anything. Like, you're not on a time limit. You're not going to die at 30.
You've got all the time in the world.
You have got so much time. Like, my mum went to university when she was 38, retrained as a interior designer. She got her degree when she was 40 or 41, and then had a whole secondary career between 40 and 50. You could do anything you like. This is just your first go at it. So this wasteland, you're going to pick yourself up out of the swamp and have your first go. It's like the first wave.
Yeah.
And then after the after that wave has died down, you might decide you don't like it. Then second wave comes. You've got as many waves as you like until you die.
In those articles where they're like, what was your first car? What was your first job? No one ever says,
my first job is the one I am in now, and it was wonderful.
It has never changed.
It has never changed, and I love it. And, you know, bye. All the interesting people did hundreds of different things. And so just, you know, realize it's your first one rather than this huge, like, well, this is the job and now everyone's judging me. It's like, it's just your first job. Like, just get in there.
Yeah.
And it feels so easy. And I know we're literally shouting down to the swamp, which when I was in the swamp and anyone shouted anything in, I'd be like, you don't get to say anything if you're not in the swamp. Yeah. And I remember having this crying on the phone to a man doing this newspaper article about how tough a time are the graduates having it. And I was being interviewed and he made me count up the numbers of cups of tea I'd made that year. Ugh. And he put a little graph in the newspaper, and then I was at my grandparents' house and I cried, and then my granddad cried because he was so sad for me. Aww. And like didn't know how to help, you know, because we're such an enormous gulf of like, I don't know what you're going through. And I remember the man on the Telegraph saying, well, you know, you'll be all right, to which I literally screamed, how do you know that?
Yes.
To which he's obviously like, I can't give you any more emotional help. He was like in his 50s. And then he said, well, the thing is, you know, lots of people are in the same boat. And I was like, and then I said, very pithy, yeah, but the boat is the Titanic. Very good
very
stuff
good,
from
yeah.
me. And so I know it's so unhelpful for someone to say, like, it is going to be okay and you are going to get out of here. And I know it sounds like flippancy and nonsense, but like,
but it
you
isn't.
Are going to get
we
out.
We are screaming it because we know how it feels.
We are just ahead of you in the swamp.
And yeah, you, when only you look, just. I've still got swamp water on
oh,
me.
Oh, God, we're only still wringing it out. that's why we do all this comes with so much emotion.
I wanted to say that as well, Becky Ramsey tweeted us because she's got a blog called Filler Chapters, and it's filler -chapters.com, and she wrote it when she was really, really, really lost after graduation, and it was her means of like trying to find kind of positivity. Have a look at that. And also, I think in general, finding positivity within the wasteland, within the swamp, mm-hmm. is so important. So for me, it was like, even when I didn't have any money at all and I didn't have any time, I still found time to like see friends and go out. I'd try not to miss birthday parties, and I'd basically like make sure that I still went to stuff because I didn't want to be by myself in my room. And I think if being by yourself in your room is going to help you, then absolutely do. But that was my thing, to kind of get some positivity
going. And try
going.
And get a swamp pal if you can.
Get a swamp pal.
So someone who's going through it together, and so you two can talk in the corner and steal all the food from the buffet because you're so hungry. And
oh my God, yeah, I remember that.
You can be a pal. Yeah, be pals together.
You can do it. You can get out of the swamp, and you will get out of the swamp. You just have to keep trying. Just the keep moment you stop trying, then, you know, how can you expect anything to change? So you just have to keep trying. Give yourself a lot of love. Don't beat yourself up. And
lie at parties if you need to. I went to my my grandma's 90th, and in the car on the way there I said to my family, I was like, just so you know everyone, I will be an architect at this party.
Excellent.
And then all these old people being like, and what do you do? Me just confidently telling everyone I was an architect.
Great. Lie hard.
Just lie.
You can do it. We fully believe in you. And hopefully that was in some part helpful. If you have any more tips, do tweet us at NobodyPanicPod. If you have any ideas for future podcasts, email us NobodyPanicPodcast@gmail.com. Also, our personal like vibes are like at Stevie M, the S is a 5.
And mine's like, it's like at Tessa Coates.
Something like that. So
it's like totally,
It's fine. And yeah, have a lovely week, guys. You can do it. You go, swamp monster.
You go, swamp monsters. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.